Well, good morning. My name is David Burden, and I bring you greetings from Christchurch Baptist in Welwyn Garden City. And from the leadership there, that's Andrew Hemmings, who is our senior pastor. He's on sabbatical at the moment, and we have assistant pastor Simon Craig. And so it's wonderful to be with you again. And always look forward to coming over to Carrie and Hemel. We're going to be thinking about, predominantly about shepherds and sheep this morning in the main part of the service. And wanted to start really by reading a very well-known psalm, which we'll be referring to at various points in the service. And it's Psalm 23 as we come to worship God. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We come to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise him this morning. And we're going to start that by singing number 441 in Songs of Fellowship, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Spares us well our feeble thing he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, widely as his mercy flows. Angels help us to adore him, ye behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him, aeon time, time and space. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise with us the God of grace.
Now, you may have guessed from the slide that just appeared that I have a visitor with me. And he usually takes a while to make himself known. Just let me... Ed, are you going to come out? Ah, here we go. Now, good morning, Ed. I'm so glad that you were able to make it. You're a bit reluctant to make yourself known there, but you just said you got a bit stuck in the broom cupboard. So, I'm glad you came because we're going to talk about the fact that God cares for us. We've just been singing about Father, like He tends and cares for us in that song just now. And do you know, Ed, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." God loves us so much that He knows everything about us, including how many hairs we've got on our head. Now, Ed, we've got a little quiz for the people here if they want to take part. Ed says, "What's it about?" Well, I wonder, Ed, if you know how many feathers a normal duck has. I stress normal. Not very happy about that. If we could have the picture of the duck again, that would be really good. Just to remind us what sort of duck we're talking about. Ooh. It came up a minute ago. Ed thought that was very funny. Well, I'm sure you'll remember what a duck looked like. I'm sure you know what a normal duck looked like, Ed. Can you guess how many feathers a duck might have? Now, I can tell you that we have got prizes for the person that gets nearest to the number crunches. The number of feathers that a normal duck has. Anybody got any idea how many? Any guesses? It's a surprising number. How many? Was that 50? Oh, 250, right. Any advances on 250? Yeah, I should go up, actually. Yeah, that's 1,000. Do I hear 1,000? Half a million, that's probably a bit too far up, actually. Right. 50,000. Right, last offers. 50,000. How many? 5,000. Ooh. Right. Well, I can tell you that you're actually the closest, if my maths is correct. The average number of feathers on a duck is 11,903. I don't know why 903, but there you are. But if you got 11,900, I would have given it to you. But yes, well done. So we're going to give out that prize in a minute. But we're going to be thinking about sheep today, Ed. And I wonder if you know what the average number of jumpers you can get from a woolly sheep. Now, just to give you a clue, there's a film. There should be a film. Have we got the film there? This is one of the wooliest sheep that you're ever likely to see because he got lost and he wasn't sheared for quite a few years.
Oh, there he is. He's called Sean. And they found him in Tasmania, Australia anyway. And this sheep, he said that he had so much wool that he couldn't see where he was going. As you can see, that's why they need shearing. So that sheep I can reveal had, what was it? They could get 35 woolen sweaters from his coat, and also translated as 280 pairs of adult men's socks. From that one sheep, and he weighed about 51 pounds. 51, that's 23 kilos. So that's not an average sheep.
So with an average sheep, how many jumpers do you think you can get out of that? It's not going to be more than 35 because that's the number that we had for that sheep. Any thoughts? Yes? 25, right? 15, we're going down, yep.
9.
9, oh, yep. Any lower than 9? Did somebody say eight over there? Somebody needs to get a better guess than that because she might win it again. Any further down than eight? Right. Ah, spot on. There we go. So, let's just give out these prizes then. So, if you could come, Ed's going to give you a prize. Well done. I think really you probably could have got two actually, couldn't you? Good. who was the seven? Oh yeah, there we go. Do come and yeah. There we go. Well, so Ed's absolutely astonished at the number of feathers that a normal duck has. He thinks that if he had 11,000 feathers, he would sink. And it's quite amazing. And what's even more amazing is that God has counted them all, and God knows them all. And God knows the number of hairs on our head. As Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are numbered, and God cares for each one of us. And we're going to be thinking about that a bit more as we think about the role of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Let's remind ourselves of how much God loves us and accepts us in his family as we sing, Father God, I wonder. Stewards are going to wait on us for the offering. Lord, we thank you for the way that you provide for us, and we thank you that we can give back to you something of what you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this money, that you would use it in your kingdom here and elsewhere to extend it and to bring your love into the lives of others. Amen. And I think the children are leaving us for their classes. That's great, and I think Margaret has some notices, yes.
Thank you. Good morning, and a very warm welcome to everyone this morning, and an especially warm welcome to David Burden. Thank you for agreeing to lead our worship this morning. It's lovely to have you back with us. You will notice that the table is laid for communion, and as is our custom, there will be a retiring offering in this month and next month. It is in support of Bibles for Children. This is a charity we've supported over many years, but during the COVID period, we were unable to do so. So we would like to renew our support for that charity. That's the one that Andrew Masters works with and takes the Bibles into schools. I hope everyone's received a copy of the newsletter this week, either online or from the foyer. And the main events for the week and times, etc., are in there. One or two things to draw to your attention. Tuesday this week, 2:30 in the afternoon, is the monthly hymn cafe, if you're able to join us. And it seemed a long way off, but on Saturday, the 25th of June, there is the Armed Forces Day Fair at Gadebridge Park in Hemel. And you'll recall that our church has taken a stall there with the aim of doing some fundraising. And if you are able to help either set up, man the stall, or clear up. So the stalls open from 12 until 6, but we need to be ready before then. So I think Colin said he's meaning to meet here at the church about 9 o'clock and get the tables and so on across to the park. If you're able to help, although Colin's not here today, please see Charlene over coffee and we can organise enough help to set that up. Also, bakers, those of you, if you haven't said already, if you're able to say the type of thing you're thinking about bringing, that would be lovely. And we'll look forward to hopefully raising some helpful funds. But for bakers, could you please include the ingredients on the list these days? I'm afraid that's part and parcel of health and safety with food. Thinking of food, you'll notice there's also food from around the world. We're planning to have a church lunch after our next communion service in July. So if you're able to help there, please see Obed afterwards. And this week, although I don't think Pat is on Zoom this morning, or she is on Zoom, oh, there we are. Although Pat's not able to join us in church, we would still want to wish her a very happy birthday, because it's a special birthday for her tomorrow. So best wishes of the day, and I would like, although Colin's not here, to carry on in the customary way. There you go. And we'll sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Pat, happy birthday to you. We're glad God made you, we're glad God made you, we're so glad God made you, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
There we are. Yes, our reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting at the first verse. We'll read from verses 1 to 18 and then from 27 to 30. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the gate by the sheepfold, does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech But the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Carrying on at verse 27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Margaret. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can look at your word this morning. Father, pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to what you have to say to us from this passage. Lord, that we might come to know more of you, more of your love in our hearts and in our minds. And Father, I pray for the fitting of your spirit to do that now, because it's only through your spirit that we can really hear your voice calling to us. Amen.
Amen.
We live in troubled times. I was reminded the other day that somebody wrote a book in 2015, which apparently was called Homo Deus, which sort of human gods, as it were. And the sort of thinking behind the book was that man had progressed so much that there was no longer the likelihood of plagues and epidemics, no longer the likelihood of famine. Man had got all these things out of control, and there was going to be no really bad wars caused. And of course, in the sort of 7 years since that's been written, all of that has been proved to be completely wrong. We live in uncertain times. We've had the pandemic, which is still an element of our lives even now. We've got the war in Ukraine, a war in Europe on the scale that we never thought we would see again, and the possibility of a grave famine looming as well. And when you look at some of the situations that we see around in our own society, I see things that certainly I, if you told me sort of 20 years ago, one or two of the figures that they reel out now as just part of accepted life, I would have said 20 years ago, that can't be right. You know, we've got food banks everywhere. Praise God for the provision, and praise God for the hearts behind it. But, you know, if you told me 20 years ago that there was going to be something like 2,500 food banks in the country, plus another 3,500 run by people like the Salvation Army, everywhere, the fact that there is that sort of need in society. And as we think of the crisis, crisis of living, that is also something that is a reality already, caused by some of these things and other things as well. And you see people having the choice between eating and heating, as it's often said. And as we, as people seek for the answers to these things, they put their trust in politicians. They put their trust in journalists, in the media, in financial institutions to see them through. Sometimes, bizarrely, we put our trust in celebrities, or some people do. I could never quite get my head around that. And there are now things called influencers. I'm not quite sure what they are, but they sound very threatening to me. But apparently they're there, and people look to them for wisdom. I don't think there can be an awful lot there. But when we look at the Bible, we see in times of crisis, all times really, putting your trust in God. And one of the pictures it uses for that is the picture that we're going to be looking at this morning of the Good Shepherd. And it's a picture that is used in several places in the Bible, actually. For instance, in Ezekiel chapter 34, it says, "I will shepherd the flock with justice." It's not just in the well-known sections of Scripture that we're looking at today. It's throughout the whole Bible we see this picture. But we're going to be particularly focusing on these two passages of Scripture, John chapter 10 and also Psalm 23. So if you have a Bible, we'll be sort of flicking between the two quite a lot. You know, Jesus used everyday illustrations. Today, maybe he would have used the illustrations of cars or electricity or something like that. But in those days, the image of a sheep, the image of a vineyard, of a vine and so on, would have been things that people would have related to straight away. Even if they couldn't always fully understand what he was trying to say to them through those images, they could relate to those images themselves. And even until quite recent times, often families would have their own pig or their own goat or their own sheep if they lived in country areas. And that was sort of revived a little bit in the 1970s in the sitcom, if we've got the picture to remind us, The Good Life, with Margot and all the pigs and everything, if you remember that series. In fact, we had a person at our church who sadly died a few years ago, actually, but he kept a pig in the back garden, and it was just a sort of, this was a sort of little terrace house, and the pig was called Saxon and was apparently absolutely enormous, took up most of the back garden, along with all the other animals that he kept. I'm not quite sure what the neighbours thought of having this enormous pig called Saxon in the back garden, but... And that's just an example of people still seeking to live that way today. But it's quite unusual. Certainly he was a very unusual person. And this passage is surprisingly complex because Jesus actually mixes the metaphors a little bit. He talks about the fact that he was the door or the gate, if you like, and also the good shepherd. So before we look at the good shepherd in more detail, I just want to look at this whole illustration of the door or the gate that we see in verse 9. In the culture of the time, sheep that people owned, if they were in a village, say, would have been kept in a sort of collective pen. And so that's why we hear the importance of the shepherd being able to call by name, by the sheep knowing his voice, call his sheep from the pen, because there would have been lots of people's sheep in those pens from the village. But out on the hillside, obviously you didn't have the sort of mix of different herds or different sheep owned by different people. And you would just have had a little pen for the sheep there. If you ever sort of walk the hills of Wales or wherever, you'll come across them on the hills even today. And the main problem with that was at night in the sheep pen, keeping the sheep all in the pen. And so the shepherd would lie across the gateway to the pen. It doesn't sound like a very good night's sleep to me, actually, lying across a gateway of a sheep pen, actually, but there you are. But that's really where that sort of image comes from. And that picture, which we see there, reminds us of something that a lot of the Jesus sayings, you know, "I am the bread of life," "I am the good shepherd," or whatever, it reminds us of the fact that through Jesus we can come into God's presence. Through Jesus we can come to the Father. Jesus is the way to God the Father. And we can hear his voice calling us there. So Jesus was the door or the gate. But he also said, I am the good shepherd. He says that in verse 11 of John chapter 10. And in actual fact, when you look at that passage, he says on at least four occasions in verses 3, 4, 14, and 16 that talking about his voice being recognized by the sheep. And the other thing that he stresses time and again in this short passage is that he lays down his life for his sheep in verses 11, 14, 17, and 18. He talks about laying down his life. It's obviously something that he wanted to really convey through this image. And so we see his voice. You know, we live in a world where there are voices all around us. There's a whole cacophony of voices saying you should live this way, that way, or whatever. This is how to live life. And it's very difficult to distinguish between what is the true voice and what sometimes might be called as fake news or whatever. We have loads of scams on our emails and so on. We have fake news coming at us, these different voices. I have an uncle who died some years ago, but his daughter married somebody who was actually a very good impersonator, and he can do an impersonation of her father, my uncle. So, I mean, you wouldn't call it an impersonation. It's literally as if he was there, this uncle. And as you can imagine, it causes his wife to get quite scared when she suddenly hears the voice of her father calling out to her when he's died about sort of 10 years ago. And it's really quite, but it's not much as it sounds like the voice of her father. It isn't. It's just her husband playing tricks on her. I think he's given it up now because she finds it so scary sometimes. Even I found it scary, actually. I thought, my uncle's come back to life. But we have all these voices calling to us, all these voices that are sort of speaking to us and saying, you should live this way, you should live that way. And it's hearing that voice of Jesus in the midst of all that noise, all that background noise that we have in our lives, that is so important, isn't it? Each one of us is unique, and each one of us, God talks to in different ways. But it's hearing that voice and picking it out amongst all the rest and actually walking towards it and being led by it. Maybe that's something that happens gradually in our lives, and maybe it's a specific moment. I became a Christian in the bath, which is a wonderful place to become a Christian, really. But, you know, I suddenly realized that voice that was talking to me was actually the voice of the Lord, and just putting my trust in God at that moment. But for other people, responding to that voice is something more gradual. But however it is that God is speaking to us, it's so important that we respond to him and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust in your voice. Hearing his voice calling us out, as it were, from that sheep pen. Each sheep is unique to the shepherd, and each person is unique to God. Let's make sure that we are listening out for that voice and obeying it when we hear it. And from that moment that we respond to that voice, he continues leading us. And we can see that particularly in Psalm 23, where David is talking about the role of the shepherd. And in verses 1 and 2, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David is talking about God leading him, refreshing him, restoring him, renewing him. And that is the first thing, really, that he mentions. He's talking there, that wonderful picture of being led to green pastures. For David, that was the priority. That was the first thing he wanted to say about the role of God as our shepherd. And we can see in David's life that he worshipped God, whether it was with the whole tribe of Israel, or whether it was just by himself. He spent time worshipping God and listening to God, just as Jesus did in the hills of Galilee, listening out for his voice in that cacophony of other voices, seeking his path for us, seeking his will in our lives. Maybe sometimes that involves sort of knocking at a few doors and finding that they're actually closed. We can be led in that way. Or maybe it's very much a specific calling into something new in our lives. But seeking his mind in the issues that we face. It's so easy when we're caught up in difficult circumstances, whether it be at work, at home, or whatever it is, and just get caught up in the moment and not just stepping back and listening to what God is saying through it, listening for that voice of the Good Shepherd, listening for that voice of Jesus. And I think that's particularly important, actually, even not just in our own lives, in the situations that we face, the difficulties that we face, but also as we seek to understand some of the difficulties that, as a society, we are experiencing at this time. You know, over the last 20, 30 years, Christian values in our society have been eroded. And I think, it's important that we, followers of God, that we seek to understand some of the things, not through our own political views, not through our own political preconceptions, but actually looking at them through the values that we see there of the kingdom of God, looking at them through the values that God sets and the standards that God sets in his word, and seek to understand what's going on there. I think that's so important at this time. But whether it's those big issues in the world around us, or whether it's those big issues in our lives and the difficulties that we face, it's important that we seek the mind of God on them, the mind of Christ in them. So Psalm 23, 1 to 3. First of all, his voice leading us to spend time with him. And secondly, his voice leading us to live by his standards. In verse 3, it says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We are not saved by our own righteousness. We're saved by Christ's righteousness on the cross. But when that happens in our lives, it's important that we seek to live as well as we can. We're going to fail sometimes. We're going to get things wrong sometimes. We sometimes fall right away from his standards. And yet that's what we should be seeking to do, living as much as we can by his standards. And the amazing thing is that even when we fail, and even when we trip up, even when we go off on a complete tangent, like a wrong path that a sheep might go up, even when we do all of those things, God is forgiving and merciful when we come back to him. Nothing can preclude us from the love of God if we are seeking his forgiveness and restoration. I was watching an interview on Sky News the other day, and it was an interview with an ex-mafia boss from New York, and he came from one of the leading mafia families in New York, and had done some terrible things and been put in prison and so on. But anyway, in prison, he changed his life around. And as he was talking, I'm thinking to myself, I'm sure he must have become a Christian, you know, just by the way he was talking. And they allowed him to mention God once, actually. And he was able to say, on one brief moment, you know, that God had turned his life around. And it was a shame that wasn't given the opportunity to expand that more. But he did the best that he could. But it was amazing to see this guy who'd been involved in all the stuff that the mafia are involved in, right up to his neck, with it, and yet had found forgiveness and found renewal of life and turned his life around. And if God can do that with that sort of person, I'm sure he can do it with anyone that we have today. God is forgiving. He's like the father welcoming the prodigal son back. God is forgiving even when we get it wrong even when we're seeking to live up to his standards and not doing it fully. But there should be, we should be seeking after integrity in our words. Integrity in our words. And we should be valuing integrity and truthfulness. We should be known as people of our word. We should be seeing integrity in our actions. You know, in society, as we talked already about food banks, but there are so many more needs now in society. I think the Trussell Trust have given out something like 2 million parcels last year to people who didn't have enough food. And that's in our society today. But there are all sorts of other needs as well. And I'm sure if this crisis develops in the way that many people are saying that it will develop, I'm sure there'll be many, many more needs as well. And as churches, you know, we should seek to minister God's love into those situations, wherever they might manifest themselves or wherever they come, wherever we come across them. It's so important that we, when we're called upon to show God's love, that we do that in practical ways, as well as just telling of the love of God from the Bible. Maybe over the next few years, the role of the church, I'm talking the whole wider church here, might change as more needs manifest themselves in society. But his voice leads us to live by his standards. It also leads us through difficult times as well. That well-known verse 4, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know, sheep do get themselves into the most strange places. I don't know. Is there a picture of a sheep? It's slide number 8, 9. That's the one. Yeah. Now I don't know how that sheep got there, if you can see it, but you sort of think, what a crazy thing to do. You know, wow, that. Took some doing actually to get in such a dangerous place as that, didn't it? And yet, you know, sometimes in our lives when we make bad choices, when we make wrong choices, we can end up in some crazy places as well. We can end up in some dark places. We can end up in some dangerous places. But the other amazing thing is that God didn't leave us without help. When Jesus was talking to his disciples in the upper room just before the crucifixion, he was really trying to convey to them the fact that they weren't going to be left on their own. And in verse 15 of chapter 14, it says, "If you love me, you will obey me. What I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept me, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long." He's talking there about leaving the Holy Spirit with them, and also with us, in the situation that the disciples were, it must have been the darkest of times. It must have been the time when everything seemed to close in on them, and their whole world had sort of collapsed. And yet Jesus said, "I'll not leave you as infants, I'll leave you with my Holy Spirit to be beside you." He never said, "I'm going to leave you with no difficulties." He didn't say, you know, life is going to be a bed of roses when I go to heaven. In fact, the very opposite. But what he did say is that he would be with us. That's what the name means, Emmanuel, God with us. There's a wonderful book by Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God. And, you know, what he did, this is many centuries ago, was he just really tried to be aware at all times that God was with him in this room or that room or along the road, wherever he went, that God was with him. And it's amazing how God ministered into his life in that way. And we need to remember, you know, when we're caught up in those difficult situations, whether it's at hospital, whether it's at work, whether it's something to do with health, whether it's something to do with job, whether it's something to do with family, whatever it is, that Emmanuel, God, is with us in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus said, you know, that the brokenhearted would be comforted. And sometimes we are the people who receive that comfort, and sometimes we are the people that give that comfort. He said that God would be merciful, and sometimes we receive that mercy, and sometimes it's our role to give that mercy to others. Sheep get themselves into some impossible situations, but the shepherd will always go after them. And maybe we end up in those situations because of choices that we've made. Maybe it's just because we go through barren times in our lives. Maybe it's because of dark times in our lives. Maybe it's because we've taken a wrong path somewhere. But wherever it is, he is with us, even to the end of the earth. And his care also speaks to provision. It says in verse 1 of the Psalm 23, you know, I will lack nothing. Similar to what Jesus says in verse 10 from John 10. Part of that care is providing for us. And you know, as we see the prices going up of all sorts of fuel, and you know, it's scary stuff going to the petrol station at this time. You know, just the cost of everything going up. You know, we need to trust in God. We need to reach out to God in those difficulties that we may experience. And also, as well as his care, we also see his protection. Jesus talks, as we already said, about laying his life down for his sheep. And you know, for a shepherd, he will go after the one lost sheep. When I was very young, we had a holiday in Wales, and we stayed at the foot of Cadwridris in this farmhouse with the farmer's wife, and he was a sheep farmer. And it wouldn't matter whether it was in the midst of night or wherever, if there was one sheep missing, he would always go up onto the mountain to find it. It's amazing to see that at first hand. But the psalmist says, you know, even in the valley of the shadow of death, he will protect us. He will be there. At those really dark times, sometimes that's the closest that we feel to God, isn't it? I've certainly been in that situation with a life-threatening illness. And, you know, that brought me closer to God maybe than I've ever felt. I wish I didn't have to get to that point to do that. But that's when we can experience God's presence in our lives beside us. In those sort of situations, we have a choice to reach out to God and to ask for his presence with us, or to say to God, this shouldn't be happening to me, this shouldn't be happening to that person, and turn our backs on God. But that isn't the response that is the right one. The right response is to reach out to God and to know his presence with us. You know, there's the picture on there. I don't know whether you can see it terribly well, but you can see the sheep there is on the shoulders of the shepherd. Yeah, just there. That's that. That would have been a lot easier, actually. and sometimes, you know, it's literally like that he will carry us through. He will carry us through. So what can we say in conclusion? At the end of Psalm 23, the psalmist talks about a meal. It's rather sort of echoes of the Passover meal there. At the in the next section of in between those two bits of scripture that were read from chapter 10 of John, talks about Jesus going to the feast of dedication and the sort of Hanukkah meal that was there. So many meals in the Bible. It's wonderful. And the meal that we remember today again speaks of that care and that provision and of that love, the communion table of the Last Supper. And they all point to that heavenly feast that one day we will join in the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. As we remember here that he did literally lay down his life for his sheep, as we come to this communion table, that's what it's reminding us of. But it's also speaking to us of the fact that he is our shepherd. Are we listening for his voice in our lives? Are we listening out for his will in our lives, for that next choice or that next stage in our lives? Are we really seeking his mind on things? And are we obeying it if we have heard it? Are we going forward in the path that he has set before us? Or maybe we've gone astray. Are we aware of his voice, that loving voice calling us back into his presence? Or are we aware also of his protective presence with us in those dark places that maybe we're at the moment, in those difficult situations that we find ourselves in? Amen. Let's pray as we come to this table. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed our loving shepherd. And Father, we just pray, Father, that if your voice is calling out to us today, that we would reach out to you and put our trust in you. And Lord, if we're lost on some side path or whatever, that we would know your loving voice calling us back. If we're in a difficult situation at this moment, that we would know your loving presence with us and your care and your provision at this time. Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you laid down your life as the Good Shepherd. And as we come to this meal, we want to thank you all the more for that. Be with us, we pray. Amen. As we come to the communion table, we're going to be singing The Lord's My Shepherd, which is number 1030 in Songs of Fellowship.
My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I won't rest in you. Trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you. Mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you with me and your Lord and star. endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
We come to a table that is open to all those who have heard that voice and received his love in their hearts and know him as their Lord and Savior. And one of our deacons is going to lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and the wine. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Lord, we can come in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for this table, Lord, which remind us that you lay down your life for us and you commanded us to do this in remembrance of you. And Lord, we gather here. First of all, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for your wonderful love for us, Lord, that you send your Son Jesus Christ into this world, who died for our sins so we can live forever. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for us, for our word. And we acknowledge that time to time we fail to follow you, Lord, to walk faithfully with you. But we thank you, Lord, that you are quick to forgive. So we thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to forgive one another. And teach us to love one another, Lord, as you have loved us. Thank you for this bread, Lord, which is a symbol of your broken body. Thank you for this cup, Lord, this which is, Lord Jesus, remind us your blood which was shed for us on the cross, for our forgiveness, for our eternal life. Lord, as we eat this bread and drink this from this cup, Lord, help us, Lord, to remember you and be thankful for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We served with the bread. And in the same way, it says that Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Maybe we can wait till all have received and then drink together as a sign of unity. Let us drink with thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love poured out for us. We thank you for what this table represents. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us when we go from this place. And Father, we would just pause around this table just to bring to you those things that concern us at this time. Father, there are wars in so many places, in Yemen, in Syria, in Ukraine. Father, we pray that you would bless the peacemakers, that you confound the thoughts of those who seek just destruction and suffering. Father, we pray for your church in lands where it's undergoing persecution. We thank you for the trust that so many Ukrainians have in you. We thank you for that, those expressions of Christian faith that are made. Father, we pray that you would be with the church closely in that country, but also in countries where the church is under persecution. Father, would you indeed be the shepherd of those flocks where just to say that you're a follower of God, a follower of Christ, is a difficult thing to do and can bring great hardship. And Father, we pray for our churches here in Hemel and at Christ Church in Welwyn Garden City. Father, we pray that indeed you would lead us forward to be a beacon in these places. Father, where there are needs that we can meet, that you would bring those people, those situations into our walks. Father, where we can show the love of Christ to the community around, that you would make those times special, that you would make those times available. And Father, that we would just be led by you as churches and as individuals. Father, I pray for the minister here, Colin, as he's away cycling, Father, that you would refresh him and bless the leadership of this church. I pray for Andrew Hemmings, the pastor at Christ Church, who's on sabbatical at the moment. And Father, as we seek to find replacement youth workers and a youth worker and a children's worker as well to head up the work there, that you would indeed bless those searches to find the right people for those areas of church life. And Father, we just pause before you and bring those people who are on our hearts. We will bring them before your throne now in the quietness of our hearts, that you would indeed minister into those people's lives. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers, whether they're spoken or unspoken. And we thank you that being around this table reminds us that we are a family, both the wider family of the Church of God, but also the family here. And Father, we pray for your a blessing upon this work here. In Jesus' name. Amen. I understand that there's prayer ministry available after the service, and I'm not quite sure where that will be, but that will be available at the front of the church, I think. And we're going to be closing our service by singing In Christ Alone, which is number 1346 in Songs of Fellowship, In Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life and strength and song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. He Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in Christ, his this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. That cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No guilt of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.